Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we're starting a short, yet for me, I think a pretty important sermon series called Sabbatical Wisdom. And in this series, what I hope to do is to share with all of you a couple of the most life-changing things that God has been doing in me since my sabbatical, with the hope being that my experiences, what God is doing in me, will be something that all of you can learn from so you don't make the same mistakes, and ultimately so we can all live into the life that is truly life. So to get this thing started, what I want you to do is to simply imagine an engine and some testing facility somewhere that is running at top speed. Now what I want you to imagine is what will happen to that engine if you continue running it for long periods of time without shutting it off. Well, as you guys know, at least for a brief period, you can run an engine like that without any real complications because good engines are designed to run at high RPMs functioning well for short periods of time. It's just the way it goes. But as you also know, even though you can run an engine like that for a bit, you can't do that to an engine forever. Because there's going to come a point due to the natural wear and tear that happens where the engine will break down and stop working altogether. And so what that means is if you want your engine to work well over periods of time, then what you have to do is from time to time, you got to shut the engine off completely and just let it rest. And while you've got it turned off, you're probably going to need to check it over to see if there might be something else that needs to be fixed, along with doing what you need to do to keep that engine up and running well. Next, what I want you to imagine is a barrel full of water. And what this water is being used for is anytime someone who walks by is thirsty, you, without question or reservation, are happy to share your water with whoever needs it. Which, by the way, is something you do day after day, week after week, because there's so many people in this world who need a drink of water. Now, of course, this is going to be something that you're able to do for an extended period of time, because there's a lot of cups of water in one of those big old barrels, right? But it's also the case that if you keep doing this work without taking some time to go fill your barrel up, eventually you're going to run out of water. It's just the way it works. Well, the truth is, before my sabbatical, I was that engine that never shut off. I was the guy with the water barrel who never took time to fill it back up. Or even though I logically knew that you can't run an engine like that, and you can't just keep filling everybody else up without taking some time to fill your own barrel up, I just kept grinding because I thought somehow I was different than everybody else. I thought I was that guy who could burn the candle at both ends with really no repercussions or never getting to the place of burnout. But guess what, people? I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. And in fact, I was so wrong that not only did I get to a place where my life and my health were starting to feel it a bit, but I also got to a place where I really didn't have anything else to give. Which meant not only in this process was I, in a sense, damaging my own physical and mental well-being, but it also was the case that I was hurting other people. Because when they were in need, I didn't have anything else of value to give. Or how many of you might just know this place from some point in your life? Yeah, or maybe I should ask it this way. How many of you live on the edge of this? You've done that your entire adult life. Anybody? Yeah, I think this is something that's not just my problem. I think it's a problem within our society. So now that you are starting to understand how we get to the place of burnout, at least metaphorically speaking, let me now give you a picture of my experience of burnout so that you'll know what to look for in your own life. And please know, I'm not sharing this information with you because I want your pity or I want you to feel sorry for me. No, these were choices I made. This is my fault. The reason I got to this place is my fault, and I own that. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because if you ever have any of these same symptoms, you'll be able to understand what's going on, because part of the time I didn't know what was happening. And so instead of continuing down the same path that I took, which leads to burnout, you'll make the changes you'll need to make before your engine fails or your water runs out. Very simple, very straightforward. So to really begin to understand the way burnout has affected me, you guys need to know that since I received the call to become a minister at the age of 14, I think, I've been dreaming about serving a growing and thriving church that really is making a difference in people's life for the sake of Christ. Which, by the way, is something that I've actually been living out for the last 8 years, given all the great things we have done as a congregation. Or for me, when I take a moment to think about where we were when I became your minister, which, by the way, was an incredible place. Pastor Bill knew what he was doing. Compared to where we are now, never in a million years did I think that we would be seeing over 300 people weekly, sometimes almost hitting 400. Never in a million years did I think we'd have to start all of this new programming just to keep up. But the most amazing thing is, never in a million years did I think that we would grow so much that we would have to build on to make more room. I mean, how amazing is that? And how amazing is it that I get to live this dream, my dream, every single day? And yet here's the thing. For about the last 2 years, even though I was living my dream, and even though logically I knew I should be over the moon about all the amazing things that God was doing around here, the truth is, in one sense, my dream became my nightmare. And what I mean by that is, instead of getting excited about showing up to work every single day because how blessed I am to get to be a part of this church, that was not what I was feeling at all. No, instead, what once used to be work I got excited about became nothing but a burden. That in a sense, I felt that I was forced to carry around, not, and all because if I didn't, not only would things fall apart, but more importantly, because I thought I'd be letting a whole lot of people I love and respect down, which as a people pleaser is almost too much for me to bear. Or oftentimes when people would stop me and tell me about some of the amazing things that are happening in their life because of this church, and there's some amazing things going on around here, instead of getting excited for them, which is the right response, I really didn't feel anything. Yeah, I just didn't feel it. Now, of course, you would never be able to tell that I felt nothing, because I'm really, really good at doing what needs to be done in any given situation. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Anybody good at pretending? Right? Which is not necessarily a bad time. Sometimes it's the right thing to do, but if you do it too much, you know there's something wrong. Then to add to that, during the night of the chili cook-off, where we actually raised an unbelievable amount of money to help build the refuge in the back, right? I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars on that first night that we received to make that done, which is unheard of. Again, it wasn't something that brought me joy like it should. No, all I wanted to do that night was to get through it so I could get home and just relax. But the place where I really began to notice that something was wrong, because let's be honest, we've all felt this way from time to time because life's just hard, is when I stopped getting excited about all my girls' activities. I stopped getting fired up about watching and cheering for my girls as they competed and performed and just did life. And all because what this burnout did to me is that it robbed me of my energy, my purpose, my joy, my excitement, no matter what I did. It didn't matter. And it didn't even matter how much I prayed or pleaded with God to get me out of this dark place. I was stuck in a kind of nightmare where I was getting to live my dream, but didn't have the ability to enjoy those dreams. And of course, the reason I was feeling that way is because I continued to run my engine at full throttle, never turning it off, while handing out water until the barrel was completely dry. Or that, my friends, is the darkness that I have been living for the last couple of years. So how many of you, again, might know this dark place? I want you to raise your hand. And I want everybody to kind of look around to see that this is not just me talking about my issue. This is me talking about my issue, because this is a bigger issue in our society today. So now that you guys are starting to get a sense of my experience of burnout and what burnout can be like in general, the thing I think we've got to do now to keep us from getting back to that place or making sure we never go there again is we need to talk about a solution. Or we need to get into what it is that we need to do to make sure that darkness never happens to us again. And guess what? What you'll find in regards to how to face and overcome burnout is that the solution to this, it's so simple. It really is. It's so simple. And even more than that, it's something that you long for, something that you crave. Because really, all you have to do to make sure this never happens in your life is to turn off your engine on a regular basis and fill up your barrel when it's running low. That's all you got to do. It really is as simple as that. And all because when God so brilliantly went about creating us as human beings, part of his brilliant design was, yes, of course, he created us to work, or he created us to give ourselves to doing something in this world for the sake of his kingdom. And yes, that's important. And yes, that's hard. Expect that. But what is also just as true that we like to ignore is that he created us to rest, relax, and enjoy the fruits of our labor. He created us to take a day and connect with him. And of course, where you see this in Scripture is all over the place, both in the Old and the New Testament, where Scripture talks about the Sabbath. And for the Jews and early Christians, the Sabbath was not just a suggestion to take a day off if you could find the time, right? That's what it is today. Go ahead and take a day if you got time. No, it was a command. It was a command. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. And for me, what this command is all about is it's not just God saying, hey, you need to take a day off because I said so. But instead, it's a command like all God's commands that have been given to us for our own good, because he loves us, based on the way he designed us to function, right? Or in a sense, this command is like God saying to all of us, hey, if you want to go out and live your life well, if you want to be efficient and do great things in your life, well, what that looks like based on my design, and by the way, I know what I'm doing, I'm God, is for 6 days you go get it. You go get it. Devote yourself to the grind of getting things done and making a difference, and that is good. But to make sure you can do this over long periods of time, to make sure you can actually enjoy your life, what you also have to do is take a day to rest and reconnect with God by making the Sabbath a priority. And again, it really is that simple. And again, I'm telling you something you've probably heard 1,000 times before. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Even after I just laid all of that out before you, so you can clearly see the dangers of burnout, along with the importance of the Sabbath, the truth is some of you are still sitting there right now saying to yourselves, yeah, Pastor Josh, that sounds good and all. I know it's true. In fact, I want to do it. But here's the thing. I just don't have the time to take the time. I just don't have time to take the time. Or between work and family and all the organizations that I belong to and all of my responsibilities, I just can't get it all done if I actually take a day. Which, by the way, is a logic that I completely and totally understand, because it's a logic that I have been living as long as I can remember. But here's what I also know about this logic based on recent personal experience. If you don't make practicing the Sabbath a habit in your life, or if you don't actually take a day during the week to rest and connect, then what eventually is going to happen to you is the same thing that happened to me. Burnout. And all the difficulty that goes along with that darkness. Or another way to think about this is, you can either learn to live according to God's design by taking a Sabbath regularly, which, by the way, is going to make your life better. Or like me, you can ignore God and his design, thinking somehow you're different, somehow you're better, you can handle it, and the Sabbath is eventually going to take you. Learn to take a Sabbath, or a Sabbath's going to take you. And all because if you don't take time to rest, eventually your body, your mind will begin to break down as your water runs dry and your engine locks up. And yet, if that's still not enough for all of you, because I know some of you are still sitting there making excuses, I don't have time. What you'll discover when you delve into the science behind the Sabbath and why it's so important is that for people who really do make it a priority to practice the Sabbath, what this does for them almost across the board is it reduces their stress almost automatically. It keeps them from reaching burnout. It improves people's mental clarity. They have much better physical health. They sleep better. But most importantly, and this is the part you really need to get, people who practice the Sabbath are actually more productive on average than people who think they're too busy to rest. Did you hear that? People who practice the Sabbath are actually more efficient and effective than people who think they're too busy to rest. Which means what both scripture and science are telling us about the importance of taking a day to rest is people who actually make the Sabbath a priority. Those are the people who are the most efficient and effective. And even more than that, those are the people who can actually enjoy the work that they're doing. It's not a grind. It's not a burden. It's something they can enjoy and live into every single day. And I think what all of that puts into perspective for us very, very clearly is, first of all, your excuses don't work. In fact, what you need to hear is when you say, I don't have enough time to take the time, that's a lie. You do, and you get to choose it every single day. One of the best little sayings I've heard recently is, you have as much time as the President of the United States of America. You have as much time as anybody else in the entire world. Everybody gets the same amount of time. How you live your life is your choice. So what kind of life are you going to choose to live? Or for me, I think it's finally time that we all stop making those excuses and just do it. It's time for us to set a day. And here's the other thing, by the way, your kids need a Sabbath as well. I mean, let's just be honest. We've got a lot of kids that are going 90 to nothing all the time, and they don't get a day off. What if you set a day every single week where you and your kids could just shut down? Their lives would be better. Your lives would be better. And the world would be better. So let us learn to take a Sabbath. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning and so grateful for all the work that you continue to do in my life. Grateful for the opportunity to take some of the mistakes that I have made and begin to share those with others so they can see how not to do the same thing. And so today, Lord, help us to quit making excuses and just to see how important the Sabbath is. Why taking a day to rest and connect matters. And now, instead of just continuing to put it off like we've always done, may we make the decision to make that a priority in our lives so we really can live into the life that is truly life. Lord, we pray all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.